Okay. Good morning, everyone. Guten Chodesh. I want to begin, first of all, by acknowledging that this morning's program has been dedicated by Lynn and Michael Elman, Le'ili Nishmas, Michael's brother, Avram Baruch Ben Yehuda. We hope that the Divrei Torah and what's accomplished here, the Cyrus, whatever is accomplished here, should provide an aliyah l'nishmasai. I express gratitude to the Elmans and to Michael, who is very, very mukushar, very dedicated to Rav Moshe, and l'havdil min chaim l'chaim to both of our very special guests, and for his encouragement and support of making such a special morning possible. I also want to acknowledge that we've used this opportunity as well this morning to also generate some support for the night coil that we have here in the shul, and a whole number of individuals and families have come forward to sponsor months of the coil, weeks of the coil, and even whatever basic sponsorship we. If you didn't catch it on the way in and you wish to participate in sponsoring the koil, there's a table on the way out. Even a sponsorship of $50, I think, will get a copy of Rabbi Hartman's new sefer that was published of his Masu Matan with Rav Moshe on the Nyonim of the Maral. And again, we appreciate everyone's support, and we're very happy that everyone's here. I've been looking forward to this morning. Something special. Our two guests are two people who are very, very, very dear to me, very dear to many of us here, but exceptionally, exceptionally dear to me. I'm excited when I have a chance to be with either one of them, to spend time with them and to hear of their Torah, and to have a chance to hear them share their perspective on Rav Moshe, the Torah, and the life of Rav Moshe Shapira, Rav Moshe Shapira, is a very, very special privilege. I look forward to it very much, and at the same time, we had this, our Rav Michal Friedman made this beautiful poster, and every time I look at it, I get very sad. I see this beautiful picture of the beautiful Rav Moshe, you know, in the middle of sharing one of the Margolius, one of the gems which just consistently came out from his mouth, and there's a tremendous, tremendous void which is left by that. Today is Rosh Chodesh. It's not a day of hesped. It's not a day of eulogy, but it's a day for us to at least have a chance to be able to see how that void is not a complete void, because Baruch Hashem, he left Talmidim Shomei Lekha, he left Talmidim who learned from him and who emulate him in his teaching of Torah. Rav Aaron Lapiansky, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Greater Washington, is someone who has captured for many in the past year the beauty of Rav Moshe, and who constantly, constantly conveys in his own teaching of Torah that kind of beauty, that he shares with others a Torah that brings it together, that makes a complete picture of what would otherwise seem disparate parts. And we bez Hashem, it's a chus for us to hear from him regularly, and it's a chus for us especially this morning.
Firstly, Yasher Koyach for enabling to be part of this. It's Rosh Chodesh, so halachically you can't say a hesped. But more than that, I don't think Rav Moshe would have cared for hespedim as much as for people learning, I wouldn't even say his Torah, but something about his genre of Torah, which I think we'll try to explain a little bit, what it is that was most meaningful to him in terms of Torah and learning. I also want to apologize to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was a very close Talmud, possibly had the most amount of interaction in the Sfarim. He also had a personal chvivas. It's very hard not to have a chavivus for Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Moshe had many, many exchanges. The Rabbi Moshe felt very comfortable, and somebody to hear from. We have a yeshiva event that I have to be there, and like someone said, in the modern schools, you have off on Sunday and you work on Friday Shabbos. In a frum school, you work on Sunday, you have off Friday Shabbos. Since Yeshiva Greater Washington straddles that beautiful line, I work, Baruch Hashem, all weekend, so I personally have an event I have to be at. So I ask Mechila, and I feel better I miss it. But Al Kopanim, I want to be made, besides understanding Rabbi Moshe in Torah, Rabbi Yeshua had probably one of the closest relationships with Rabbi Moshe, Baruch Haim L'Chaim, and something that his words, whatever he will say, is very significant. So I wanted to talk about an inyan. Some of the things we're going to say, I remember clearly Rabbi Moshe saying. Some of it is things that he could have said. I was zochet to have a kesh with him. The first time I actually heard Moshe was in 1970, when I was a 16-year-old boy. I had just come to Eretz Yisrael. It was 2 days before Rosh Hashanah. And I had a cousin of mine who said, "You're not doing much anyway. There's a younger man who says occasionally shmuzen in our koil." So I said, "Sure." I went down, and there was a younger man learning one of the other rooms, the honorary official. They had all the rooms on the side. And he came out and said a shmuz. Moshe at the time must have been 40, not even 40, ninth. And so I was a boy, but I heard it. I was blown away. I didn't know his name, really. And it wasn't until 10 years later that I Rav Hutt had passed away. And a friend of mine told me he goes to hear him. I heard of Rav Moshe. And when I went in to meet him, it clicked. And I remembered this was Rav Moshe. So over the years, either what I've heard, either I'm saying over things I heard before from him, things that I may have heard, and hopefully something about the way in which to approach a topic that would fit what he was, his chelik of Torah, his approach to Torah, and so on. And that's something, the etzem nekuda of what his approach to Torah was, I think is something I would like to work out through the Divrei Torah. We used to have a kviyas with Rav Moshe. In the later years, we had a small group, and we'd meet once a month. And there is, Reb Tzadik HaKohen has, every Rosh Chodesh, he discusses, Sefer Yetzirah has, on each month, some of the attributes of the month, in different realms. And Reb Tzadik, it must have had this type of kviyas, and we asked Rav Moshe if it's once a month, could we do it? And he said, yes. So he would do that same shtickle, you know, he would go to the mocker, and he would speak about it. So I want to start, it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, it's also a gateway to Hanukkah, so I want to start with that quote, Reb Tzadik brings it from Sefer Yetzirah and so on. It says, each month has a different letter, the Aleph Beis, a different shevet, a different attribute of a person's kochas ha-nefesh, just a very broad term. And many other things, and there's a phenomenon in the world, all different things that each month has a special dugish on, a special emphasis on. So two or three things of Kislev is, one thing about Kislev is shena, sleep, of the kochos of a person is miyuchat to Kislev, and keshes ba'olam, and the concept of a bow, a shooting, like a bow and arrow, that's also something that's unique, that's shayach to Kislev. There are many other things, but I would like to focus on these two things. If we ask ourselves about Shena, it seems to us describes a non-koach of a person. To say that sleeping is a verb is stretching the idea of verb. Grammatically, it's a verb. It's what you're doing, but we tend to think of sleep as what you're not doing. So it's strange to think of that as a koach of a person, and to say Kislev is mesugal, especially for sleep. I mean, many bachurim feel yeshiva all year round is mitzvah for sleep. It's not miyuchad for kislev. But what is it? And obviously, because kislev has the union of Chanukah in it, true, it has the longest nights. That's also true. The Chof Hei is the Maral speaks about it being a very long night. But what is about sleep? Chazal say, Amar Reb Shimon Elazar, Hinei Toiv Me'oid. So he says, what is it referring to? Shena. So Chazal asks, V'chi Shena Toiv Me'oid? To say sleep is extremely good. It says also in Chazal that sleep is a 60th of Misa. Person is inactive, person doesn't do anything. It says that sleep is very good for Rishayim. Wicked people, when they sleep, at least they're sleeping. But for a person who's a tzaddik, who's toif, why would sleep be good? Because he sleeps a bit, he's able to learn a lot. Okay. So that's Tov Me'od, and it's true. If you're comfortable, if the Eknish is working, you ate something, you learn. I mean, would that be the thing? It's preparatory. It's a good hachana, maybe. We tell us to go sleep a bit. What is it that we're saying? This is called Tov Me'od. Tov Me'od should be reserved for the goal. You know, it's Torah is Tov Me'od. You need to sleep, so sleep is also good. But what kind of thing is it? It's called Tov Me'od because who I made Yoshin Kimmer Vaimel Yegeotar Hardy. Something is kind of strange. Keshes is also something that is a bit, we can categorize things in the world like warfare, a sword, a keshes, there's clay, negina, there's the umnis of Teufis, of Kinar and Novel. But is there, and a keshes is something that has a special koyach to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that the bris with Noach, and a keshes has a certain specific representation. So I'd like to try and start a little bit to be misamek on Chanukah and the Yonah of Chanukah. In a very superficial way, Chanukah is understood as being the Yontav against Yivanim, Chachmas Chitzonius, Chachmas Umas HaOlam versus Chachmas Yisrael. It's as if the issue, the struggle between Chachmas Yav and Chachmas Yisrael is which particular Chachma is better. So, Lamashal, in philosophy, you have many different philosophies. The word philosophy covers things from extreme to extreme. And it's a question of which one to choose. But to me, that would be fall far short of the mark. Because let's take Yitzhar that was there before Chochmas Yevanis, Avodah Zarah. So you have hundreds of thousands of idols, and the question is which one is the right idol? That's one type of question. When you put HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lehavdol, it's not in the mix. It's not which God. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has no sheiches to in Avodah Zarah, so you have 100 Avodah Zarahs, and each nation decides Baal is best, Peor is best, this is best, that's best. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an idea, it's a concept totally different Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is our primitive approach to religion, but it has no sheiches. I would expect a similar distinction between Chochmas HaTorah and Chochmas Yevanis to be of the same extreme, of it not being in the same league. So just to say that this is Torah philosophy, these are worldly philosophers, is missing something in the Chochmah itself. Of course, it's as if we believe, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows best, and he's the author of Torah philosophy, that's best. I would want to understand that the Chachma of Torah is of a different nature totally than the Chachma of Yavan. There's a very famous, the quote itself is a brayso in Seder Olam, and the Gaon adds to it. Rav Chutna said it many times, or Moshe said it many times, quoted very, very often. It says like this. This Seder Olam is basically a chronology. It's a timeline of different events in Jewish history. It's a medrash. And then it speaks about Yavon. It says Alexander Mokdon was a melech 12 years. Ad kan hoya neviim misnam beruach hakodesh. Until this point, neviim were misnam beruach hakodesh. Mikan ve'elech. From this point onwards, hat oznech hashmadi v'chachamim. Listen carefully to what chachamim say. Shenema kinoyim kisishem bevitnecha, and so on. So the Medrash tells us that there was a transition. Nevuah came to an end. We know that. And from this point on, we have to listen to Chachamim. The Gaon adds here that it had to do something with the Bittul of Avodah Zarah, and that I've heard of Hutna a few times speak about it. And, you know, making the point about the world going from Avodah Zarah versus Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Kfirah versus Emunah plain. That's the point they try to bring up the Gaon. But I'd like to be medayik something. It says, until this point, Nevi'im would say Nevuah. Mikan ve'elech, from this point, hat oznecho shmadiv chachamim. Listen very carefully to what chachamim are saying. Now, logically, it should say, till now, Nevi'im set the pace, now chachamim set the pace. We're expected to listen carefully when a Navi comes along. When a Navi comes along, it says, Koyam Ar Hashem. And what are we supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be texting? Meanwhile, you know, yeah, I'm listening. Just, you know, I'm supposed to listen. And today, Chachamim speaks, so Chachamim are the ones that do it. So the Hat Oznecha is should be irrelevant of whether it's this or this. You could say it's a certain Hadgasha, it's a certain emphasis that... I would think somebody comes on and says, Koyama Hashem, I'm all ears. This is a chacham speaking. I don't have to listen. So it could, the sense of the medrash could well be a sort of chizuk that to be mechazik, don't think that the chacham is saying, it's a dvar Hashem. It's not unreasonable to say that. But the chazal seem to change the emphasis over here. So, the Sfarim say the following. B'nei Yisosra brings from Rokeach that they bring the following idea in. That the 36 Neiris of Hanukkah are kineged the 36 hours that there was the Or HaGonis in the Bria. The light that was in the Bria, before it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Goynes Dor Tzadikim, is 36 hours, and 36 hours is 36 Neiros connected to that. And they speak about the Or HaGonos as being something that is Merumas in Neiros Chanukah, has Shaychus to it, and so on. There's, in Halacha, there are actually two Nischos in the brach of Yotze Or, whether we say Or Chodesh al Tzion Toir v'niske cholanu or not. In other words, the our nusach is yes, the Torah brings two nuschos, and the reason for not saying it is the brachas before Kriya Shema are birchas hashevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the world we see. So we see a world around us that is magnificent, and we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that's in it. That's the brach of Yotze Or. Avarabba is the personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no makom in it for asking for something that's not here. It's not a bakasha. There's no reason why we should be asking for something. And secondly, if it's not here, then you can't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that's not at present. So the Torah says to say it, and he says because it's referring to the Or HaGanus. That's Or HaGanus Yoter. It doesn't seem to make the question any easier. We still don't have it. It's like, let's say, I give a mashal. If I'm praising somebody for his tremendous chachma, so the assumption is that I've heard from him. I've seen it, I've heard it. That's the assumption. Hearsay, to say that people say about him, it's not a very big shevach. Let's say I haven't heard much of your chacham from the person, but I feel he's a very big anav and tsanua. It still wouldn't make sense to praise him for that. It may be that he's a phenomenal ilui and he knows kol ha'tayr kula. I haven't heard it from him. It may be because of his anava. It still doesn't make me somebody who could praise him for it. So what does it mean that we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's answering a kasha, the Torah. The Torah had a problem. We're trying to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We start Krishna by saying, Ribbono Shel'olam, from the Bria that I see around me, I recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being everything and Molei Chochma and so on. And B'meila, I'm sorry, the time flies. And B'meila as the I see the Chochma and so on and so forth. And B'meila, I say Krishna Emunah Shleima. The Or HaGanus doesn't help me anything. I never saw the Or HaGanus. I don't know anybody saw the Or HaGanus. And especially the Nusach we say, we do say HaShatzin Toyer. We're saying it B'Lashon Baruch and saying B'Lashon tomorrow. So what is exactly we're talking about? So we need to understand it as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Bria he was Megala to us a limitless amount of chachma. And that's the Bria that we have around us. Had we been Zeicha, that's the world we'd live in. We weren't Zeicha. We're small people. We can't have that. But we can have it Ganus. In other words, it's not going to be overt. But if I crack open a layer, I'll find another layer. And if I crack open another layer, I'll find another layer. In Ganus doesn't mean unapproachable. It doesn't mean withheld. It means that it will only come as a result of uncovering it. Just like I heard many years ago, I didn't see the side. I heard B'Shem Reb Chaim Volozhin. Dor l'dor shabach masecha u'gvur secha yagidu. So he said, what is gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The midah of gvura is kevish es yitzrei. So anytime we see a sort of containment kaviyachol, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu held something in, that's going to be a gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Reb Chaim says, dor l'dor shabach masecha. The word yeshabach from the lashon to improve, like shvach maisav, shvach sadehu. Electricity was a koach that was in the bria, from sheis mei breishis. And the day we discovered it, we said, "Wow, look what God put in the bria." Atomic energy has been in the bria since brias olam. It's when we discovered it that we were able to recognize another facet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godless. So Reb Chaim Volozhin says, "Dor l'dor yeshabach masecho." Each generation improves it, and it's not only look at electricity and look at atoms. Look at how hidden it was in this table. There are enough atoms here that if I knew how to break them apart, it could fuel the world forever. That's it's extraordinary in how gunners it is, how secreted it is, how much it's in something else, and that's a sipur HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gevura. So the mahalach of geniza does not mean withheld, but rather means he secreted it. He put it into the bria. It's approachable. It's attainable through cracking, breaking over something, seeing something inside. When the Nevi'im came along, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu still spoke to us through Nevuah, they left nothing for the imagination. they said, Raboisai, you're doing bad. Tomorrow there's going to be a war if you don't do better, and so on. That was nevuah. It didn't require, yes, I had to listen. I mean, it's Dvar Hashem. Somebody's going with Dvar Hashem. But to get the message did not require me to think into it. That era came to a close. And that's what the Braisa says. Mikan ve'elech hat oznecha ushma dibir chachamim. You're not going to get it. The Dvar Hashem that spoke from a Navi is not going to come only from the surface of what Divrei Chachma comes into this world. It's going to be ganus, and you will have to think into what was said, and you'll see another layer, and then think again into it, and see another layer, and so on. So the musig of Gneza, the musig of something containing something, which contains something, many, many layers of teichen, incredible amount of teichen, that's something that changes at this point, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not telling us mefurish, we're going to have to keep digging to find it in Divrei Chachma. So at this point, at Bayis Sheni, and the change of the Bayis Sheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped speaking to us overtly, and his words would be within. There's a Nefesh HaChaim. Moshe Shapiro would quote it quite often also. Nefesh HaChaim says, he speaks about the musig of Sisrei Torah, Niglus of Torah versus Nistaras of Torah, Nigla Nista. So he brings a kasha, he brings a question, he brings a question someone else asked, what's the difference between Nigla Nista? If somebody, as Moshe Shapiro said, you know, for some people, Ela Metzias is Nista. They're clueless. So learning Ela Metzias is Yaita Sisra Torah because they can't, you know, they can't figure out the right from left or top from bottom. So if you don't know Ela Metzias, that's Sisra Torah. A person who knows Kisvei Arizal, so that's Nigla fame. He knows it. So what do we call Nigla Nista? We call it just most people know, most people don't know. So Nefesh HaChaim brings a Zoya that says all of Torah, Doraisa Kula Isasim Vegalia, all of Torah contains both Nigla and Nista, and he quotes a Zoya, Doraisa Islu Gufa, Vinishmas, it says, the Torah has a body, Tipshin the Alma Le Mistakla Behulavusha. Fools only look at the external Levush. Inan the Yadun Yaseh, those know a little bit more, Le Mistak Mil Vush El Begufa, the Itchois El Vusha. They look at the Guf, which is under the Levush. Chakimin, Avdi the Malki Law, the Chachamim who are Avdi Amelach, Inan the Kaime Betur Besinai, those who stood at Sinai, Le Mistak El Belin Shmosa, the Iker the Kularai Samamish. They look at the Neshama of Torah. Well, Alam Das is Minan Listakola, Benishmosa, Shmosa, and Lassad Love, they'll see the Neshama Neshama. So it means every chelik of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, but it's an almost, or maybe an endless series of teichen within teichen within teichen. Let's go back to a point that we spoke about Chachmas Yevanis and Chachmas HaTorah. Chachmas Yevanis applies a lot of seichel, to understand things, a lot of probing, a lot of research. There's one axiom at the bottom of it, and it is, everything is what it is. In other words, if I were to take a horse and dissect it to its tiniest detail, I would figure out exactly how a horse runs, what motivates it, and so on. About a horse, they may be right. If I take a person, same thing. Once I dissect him in the greatest possible way, I will have the person. That's it. That's where. There's nothing more to it. There's nothing. There's no such thing as teichen or content. It's only levush. because what you see is what it is. We don't see enough. We don't know how the muscles pull each other and push each other and how they respond to the nerves and how... Yes, there are a lot of details in a machine. But it's like if I take the most complex machine in the world, the question is to figure out how it works, not why it works, not what's in the sum of the machine. A machine is the pieces and how they interact, and that's it. If you start with that Havana, then the musig of things having any tochen to it is batal. It's called Chachma Chitzainis because it's never more than Chitzo. One of the directions, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Aristotle, when probing what's the best horse, what is a horse for, it's whatever it does best. If a horse does running very well and you can ride on it well, then that's the country horse. To say that there's any tachlis, to say that there's any teichen to it, is non-existent. It doesn't make sense. So the hispalgus, the bifurcation, the divergence of chachmas ha'olam and chachmas Yisrael is a whole different. It's not just this Torah versus this Torah. It's do I look at the world as it is what it is, or do I look at the world that there's a never-ending series of teichen and content to it? That was this halkas. So until this tkufa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to the world, and everything was begali. There was always obviously this bechina, but the ikka was to tune in and listen to what Hashem is telling to do, and that was it. If a person had a madriga, he would look into the oimek of it. Umas Olam, everything was what they thought Avodah Zarah taught them to do. And that was the world. The world changed radically in what it's supposed to do at this junction. And Umas Chachma became the standard. The Chachma of the world is how, and our Chachma is what. What's in this? And what's deeper? And what's deeper? And so on. Hat Oznecha. Ushma divrei chachamim, because the mahalach of chachma is now going to be in the depth, in the omek, instead of just the shetach. The concept of divrei chachma that we're talking about is something which I think was, if I can describe what Reb Moshe taught. And what Reb Moshe gave over, I don't think it wasn't his particular Torah. It was, this is a derech to approach things with. The Chazal say that Eliezer was Dola Mashkim Tosha, it was called Amesek, was Dola Mashkim Tosha Rabbi. He gave over his Rebbe's Torah. So it's fantastic. Yet Avraham Avinu says, Matitanli. You know, Vaynoyodach Harir, Vidamesek Beisi is Yerushaisi. If Damesek means, you know, my Talmud Muvak, I mean, the word Damesek is being used in that sense by Chazal, so what was he complaining about? The answer is that he was complaining that they'll just package it. It'll be Avram's Torah, al ha-parsha, al ha-mo'adim, you know, about marriage, about chinuch, it'll be packaged. That's dead Torah. Avram Avinu wanted a son who would redig the beiris of that he had dug. That was the difference. I'd had a catch up with him. I heard him in learning, I spoke to him in learning. You know, people talk about his knowledge of Sisra Torah, and yes, he was unique almost in his hekif and his inyanim, as in many other things. But I think the nekuda that he was especially his main nekuda was this, that Sisra Torah is not a particular body of things. A person can take Sisra Torah and make it as shallow as could be, just plopping over words that he heard. It's the same thing. Havana, his amkus, is really, really where it's at. And it made no difference. His svaras and learning were extraordinarily deep. And he would get annoyed when people would try to nickel and dime him. It's not that Akasha, not Akasha. But do you understand? Don't you see this is what's under the surface? So maybe this point it will be this way. He was very annoyed. It would annoy him when people would nickel and dime at the price of missing the big picture. We started by asking the different things in Kislev that are, the tchunas of Kislev. If you look back again at Chazal over here, when they speak about Shena, so they say about Shena that we emphasize the wrong words. Mitoich she'adam yoshin kima, because when a person sleeps a bit, hu omed v'yogea Torah harbe. In other words, we need sleep, but food somehow has a direct correlation. If I ingest 1,000 calories, I can expend 1,000 calories. It's more or less tit for tat. And that's how we understand what food does for a person. Shena, Chazal wa'omer on it, ha'mechadash betuva uchol yom tamid. A person gets up, and there seems to be an incredible amount more of understanding. And that's the koyach ha'shena. It's something that transcends. The hadgosh of Chazal is the kima versus the harbe. That shena is a tchuna that a person has where it seems to give him, with a little bit of shena, person get a tremendous ability to be mamik and misamik in Chazal and so on. The keshes is also a very interesting bria. A person can use as a weapon a sword of any type and a keshes. A sword, the energy that I'm expending and the direction, the vector, is same. I take something and when I push it, a spear, anything like that, it's the energy that I'm expending in the same direction, going and affecting whatever it is. That's a sort of a tevedik and mahalach. A bow is, if anything, I've pulled the arrow this way. I've pulled it this way. It works because the energy that's gunners in the potential energy that's gunners in that pulling back is going to propel it extremely quickly. It's a chelik of the bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, where the concept of gunners, the concept of things that are underneath the surface, anything I move it in the other direction, yes, but I secreted away a tremendous amount of energy here, which is going to propel it to its target. So Kislev, because it's the month, or Chanukah belongs in Kislev, it's the shahr of Gneza and the Bria. It's the shahr where things stop appearing on the surface and they start drilling down in the oimek. And if a person wants to tap into any part of it, he has to go in depth instead of shifkis. It's something that if I can ask myself, what was his legacy? What's called learning and carrying on his Torah? It's not pratim. It's not even a particular chelik of Torah. Yes, the things that he most famous for is a certain chelik of Torah, but he was shredded all over. You could talk to him. It just did. Most people didn't have, he said Shurim and Tyrus for years and years and years. It wasn't public, didn't rush en masse to learn it. But whatever he said on, he said he always found an oimek. And if you got older, more mature, as I went to different Shurim, there was always something deeper. There was always another layer to whatever was said. He was somebody that tapped into this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears now in the depths. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't look up in Shemayim. It's not the Tkufa yet. It's not the Tkufa that was. And it's not the Tkufa yet of Yom HaMashiach. If a person wants to find everything and anything, the person will find it by digging deeper. And it's true everywhere. A person goes over something again and asks himself again, so what does it mean? What's its hagdara? Where is it coming from? The process of being misamic in something is where the geniza of the bria is. It's the right time of the year. It's the right yontif. We differ from umas ha'olam not because we're smarter, but it's not a level playing field. Their playing field is the surface of the universe. Very, very big playing field, but it's limited. It's it. They can discover the mechanics of the entire universe. But that's the top layer. Chachmas Yisrael and Chachmas HaTorah is Dehat Oznecha. Bez Hashem, it's coming up almost a year already. It's hard to believe that it's a year. And like, you know, he was Chai Rav Pa'alim. It's hard to think of him as not being here. Everything was always full of chiyus. Rabbi Shua was masbid in London, and he expressed that sentiment very powerfully, that of the people that's hard to feel they're not there is him. But he opened up a gateway for us to understand where things would be. Sisra Torah, he opened up the world of Sisra Torah, not Zohar or Rizal per se. Sisra Torah is that Torah has a layer and another layer and another layer and another layer. And if a person needs two things, he needs to be aware of it, he needs to be dissatisfied with where he is, and it needs energy, to expend energy to drill. Things that are on the surface, water that's on the surface is something that just needs a pail to scoop it up. Water that's in the ground, the deeper down, the more energy, you have to expend energy. But wells stay. Water comes and goes and wells stay. Yiratzen, that the Be'eris that he opened up for us, we should zeicha to take out they should not become sasum, they should remain open. We should have the rutzen and the yegia to drill as deep as needs to be and to keep on finding the amkus and the oiris hagnuzim in those waters.
Sorry.